Our reading tonight is in Proverbs. Once again, we are looking at some verses in chapter 8, and I'll be reading verses 12 to 16. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning at verse 12, hear God's word. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles. All who judge rightly. Well, sometimes we hear it. Sometimes it occurs to us that the only book we should ever read is the Bible. While we would be happy if that had to be and should be the case, the Bible gives us a perspective on the whole world and commends to us a close study and engagement with the people and the things of the world. We can't be obeying God's great commandment by just reading and praying all the time and ignoring our neighbor. That's to have a theoretical theology, which is the theology of the devils. We have a practical theology that works itself out. Our faith works itself out in love. And part of love is that in the real world, the fallen world as it is, and including the world as we are taught by God, it was made and changed by the fall and will be judged finally. And then the glory, the new heavens and new earth. When we take into account all of that and seek to have an understanding of all of that and share that with others, nothing could be more loving than to share the truth, that truth that sets us free. So we're finding here in Proverbs wisdom personified. It is rightly taken to be a pre-manifestation of Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God, the power of God, the salvation of God. He's our all that God has given to us. But divine wisdom, we learn in these verses we look at tonight, is the source not only of virtues and practical abilities. It's not only the source of theoretical knowledge, but it's bringing together of both of them in an integrated living. Positively, we have, starting at verse 8, wisdom presenting herself as the key to unlock a veritable treasure house of all sorts of virtues. This is what godly wisdom does. It's not just learning the periodic tables in a chemistry class. It's not just learning facts and regurgitating facts or even learning how to use facts to do our job in the workplace. There's a deeper tie that binds it all together, and the tie is God's holy love. And so we find wisdom here dwelling with these other virtues. That have all sorts of colors and flavors to them. And that's because wisdom never dwells alone. Because God never dwells alone. Even when God was all that there was, he is in three persons. And there was a communion in the Godhead. Jesus refers to that in his high priestly prayer. So, with wisdom, there are countless valuable facets to her being and numerous virtuous potencies that reside with her in her house and this is the picture that's drawn for us. And it's an attractive picture. It draws us in. Sound judgment, things such as sound judgment, that's related to wisdom, flows from wisdom, especially if it's sound judgment, but it's slightly different than wisdom. There's expansive awareness, there's discerning action. All these things are closely related, members of the same family. And wisdom herself being counsel and soundness of mind, heart and hand incarnate. Now in our lives, the way that they were in Jesus' life when he was here on this earth. So she dwells with these virtues and dwells happily and invites us to partake of them all. There's no jealousy amongst these sister virtues. And each and every one is valuable in itself, herself, and all together for us. That's the positive part of our passage. The negative part is that godly wisdom can't abide pride or arrogance or perversion or any other evil way. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To hate it, though, you do have to know it. And this, too, is akin to loving our neighbor. We need to know our neighbor, our true neighbor, and not just try to manage and act like we are the potter. We're going to beat the clay into the shape we think it should be in. To love our neighbor means to love our neighbor as our neighbor truly is. And to hate evil presupposes knowing evil. And so this is part of our education as well. This is part of wisdom. The wise person is not a naive person. The wise person is not a sheltered, delicate, fragile person that just gets incredibly and easily upset over the least hint of evil. We get, in a holy way, triggered, but we know it. And that's because we know it. And when we do say, in the strong word here, I hate pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverted mouth, verse 13 says, I hate. We should hate that too. Precisely, though, because we know it. And not hate just what we make it to be. All right. So these vices will never find dwelling in the house of wisdom. They can't dwell. They don't want to dwell there. They would want to draw us out of that house into the world of perversion. So the more we abide in the wise fear of the Lord, and remember last week I gave us a little grammar exercise. Usually we take this phrase, the fear of the Lord, to being we fear God. We revere God, and it can be taken that way, but not in the Hebrew as it's written. The fear of the Lord, as it's written in the Hebrew, is written in a form called the construct form, at least in this verse and in earlier verses in Proverbs. And that's the possessive form. So we're talking about God's fear. And God's fear, well, it doesn't seem that's right. And what's God got to be afraid of? But the Hebrew word for fear comes from a very concrete word that describes a bodily action. For us, when we're in terror, we shake and we even feel a kind of a knot in our gut. And to the extent that we move or act or speak, that comes out of our gut. We're speaking out of terror, out of fear. That's one way that this is taken. But it can't be taken that way, as though God has that shaking dread. What comes out of his deepest being is his word, his spirit, his power, his holiness, his righteousness, the totality of his being. So when we read in Proverbs that phrase, the fear of the Lord, it's what comes out of the deepest recesses of God towards us. And that breeds in us a reflection of reverence reverence for him. It can be very closely akin to fear because we see reverence sometimes striking down godly men like Isaiah. But the more we abide in the fear of the Lord, that is, we're drinking in everything that God's pouring out of himself for us. The Hebrew is an almost embarrassingly intimate physical language. The more we abide in what our God pours out into us, the more we'll be transformed by these pure and powerful virtues. And the less we taste and be tainted, we'll be inclined the less to taste and be tainted by devices that are here. So, divine wisdom is the source then not only of virtues and practical abilities, she's also the source of power and authority. Our passage goes on to talk about by me kings reign in verse 15 and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles who judge rightly. To the extent that they do judge rightly, they judge rightly because it pleases Christ to impart to them wisdom to do so for the sake of his glory, and the sake of his people, and the good of his people. And so we have even more power and authority. Now, if we would reign in life, and the Bible tells us we are super conquerors, we reign with Christ, this is where it comes from. It comes from the Lamb of God. It doesn't come from a great, high, mighty, imposing source. It comes from the one who is gentle, meek, and humble in heart, and calls us out of our lack of wisdom. Because one thing about wisdom is wisdom never grows tired and worn out. And when we're weary and heavy laden, it's because we've not been very wise. And when we're called to him, then we're invigorated, usually by a deep, soothing bath in the peace of God that passes understanding, and the love of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the love of the Lord from which we can never be separated, and the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And we begin to feed on the fear of the Lord and grow wise. And we reign with Christ in that way. If we want to reign, then we want to apply rightly the fear of the Lord and then not think it's our fear and we have to work ourselves up into some kind of a fit. It's that which comes out of God, proceeds from his being to us. And he gives us all that he is. And we grow in his wisdom, which is also another way of saying we grow into his likeness. And we grow into having, possessing, to some degree, not to infinite degree as he does, but to some degree, an appropriate degree to us as individuals, different individuals, his virtues and his powers. And we become more than conquerors. So let's understand that those who rule over us in the world, though, even this is wisdom talking about the world outside of the individual believer and the church and our communion together, those who rule over us in the civil realm and do so wisely and successfully, do so because of the hand of the Lord. Romans 13 tells us that. That's why we're to submit to civil authorities, not just to follow ecclesiastical leaders and imitate their faith, but submit to the governing authorities of the world, because there's no authority anywhere except by God. And even the worst governments have his sanction to be and to be in exercise. And they have a place in his wise and for us loving providence to serve for our good. But it all comes from him. And when we realize that, it makes it easier for us in good conscience to pay our taxes and to obey our governing authorities and to act in accordance with the law. I've found myself from time to time getting fast and loose with the traffic laws, especially. I try and justify it by saying I don't need to signal that I'm going to turn because there's nobody following me. And the more I use that signal light, the faster it'll burn out. And then I have to take time and money to get it fixed. There's your loving pastor living by the wisdom of the Lord right there. No, I've stopped doing that now because God put those laws over me to be heeded at all times. So they not only get, rule by his wisdom, very, very imperfectly, since many, if not most, of the world's authorities are not believers. Sometimes they are, but they do imperfectly. And to the extent that they maintain and wield power, they form a part of God's wise plan for us. But let's go back to these words just quickly before we conclude. We started with wisdom, and then wisdom introduced us to prudence. And I just want to give a rundown, a very quick rundown of definitions. Prudence is being wise in practical affairs and interests, in particular with one's own interests. It's if a person is a prudential person, they're careful and want to be very understanding and very not rushing and hastily deciding anything. Prudence is then wise, being wise in practical affairs. The prudentiality guides the decisions and the actions that flow from those decisions. Then the knowledge, well, that's, we've met before, perceiving data. This is where you learn your alphabet, and then you learn the words, and you learn phrases and the grammar. You learn how to read. You build up the data, and knowledge becomes wisdom. And then thirdly, discretion. That can mean two things. Power to decide according to one's own judgment. I have discretion to do that. If the law suddenly said any time we've decided to make it an exception. Billy Harrell is so wise that he can save money by not signaling when he's going to make a turn if nobody's following him. And we put into the law a rider that says he has discretion to use or not use his turn signal whenever he wants. That's what that means, to decide according to one's own judgment. But of course, when dwelling with wisdom, we'll always consult wisdom, God's wisdom, God, and then decide. But also discretion could mean wisely and lovingly covering, knowing what not to say, what not to share. That may be true, but if you share it, it might not be loving. Noah's nakedness was true, and his youngest son made a laughingstock of him, or sought to, but the older sons covered their father's nakedness. Discretion is that. Counsel means considered opinions. If I give you counsel, I'm not giving you a commandment, but I'm saying, I've thought this matter through, and here's what I think you should at least consider. And then understanding. Understanding is the capacity to put the pieces together rightly. Right and true perception that results from the exercise of understanding. Now I have a true perception of the matter, all things considered. And then finally, power, the practical enabling to accomplish these good and wise things. Now, that's a pretty wonderful package. But if you go further and number the things, you've got six people there, six virtues dwelling with wisdom. But I thought seven was the perfect number. Well, six is there. And if you count wisdom, that's seven. There's your perfection. But wisdom, you're saying, is Christ. He doesn't count as one. He's the all. But there again, we come to the supreme wisdom of God that looks like foolishness. Because his wisdom, his wise way to save us was to kill his son. I don't think you could put it any starker than that. And the Bible puts it more starkly than we can possibly imagine. It pleased the Father to afflict him and put him to death, Isaiah 53 says. Jesus humbled himself, and it looks foolish that he'll put himself as one of seven virtuous sisters living in a single house because he is humble. And that's how he shares all of himself with us, coming to us sweetly, humbly, and teaching us that his wisdom, as in his exercise of it, could look like foolishness, so should our wisdom. It's not to be provocative or to look foolish for looking that way's sake. It's just that sometimes supreme wisdom looks foolish, looks inadequate, because wisdom explores all things. And sometimes we think it's our strength to shut a person's mouth up. I don't want to hear any more of your explanations or justifications. I've made up my mind. I always think you're wrong. And that's the end of it. That seems like a strong and godly way to do things, doesn't it? It can. I cast you out of my house. I cannot be friends with you anymore because you're insulting the God I love. Well, Jesus gives them water, food, air, clothes every day because he cares for them. And he commands us to love them. And his wisdom there can look like foolishness, but it's not. Well, Jesus was wise, and even his enemies acknowledged that he was wise. Oh, they thought he was crazy sometimes. His own family thought he was crazy sometimes. They thought he was demon-possessed at sometimes. But when push came to shove, they knew he was wise because they couldn't stand up to him. He vanquished them at every engagement. And even his wisdom showed up in his disciples when these uneducated fishermen, John and Peter, were speaking to the Sanhedrin. They thought, where did these ignorant men get this knowledge and understanding? And then the book of Acts tells us they realized they'd been with Jesus. So here's wisdom, not just to be thought about, but to be communicated to us so that we might increasingly have the heart and the mind of our wise and loving Redeemer. Amen. Let's sing.